Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to be. If you have your device or have your Bible, want to open up to the very first book in the Bible. We're going to walk through some verses together this morning. Genesis 2 verse 15 through 25, it says this. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God then caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. He slept. And he, God, took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother." It's a very interesting text. It just switches right to here. Talking about the future. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And it says they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they're not ashamed. It's the first time. We're going to see the word mother in that phrase, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother." First time the word shows up in the Bible. And the first time it shows up, it's connected with separation. "For this reason, a son shall leave his mom, be joined to his wife." Even before the first child was born, this being a mom, being a dad, talks about a relationship that is temporary. There's going to be a separation. That relationship you have with your child will change. There's a leaving. And it wasn't a leaving because of sin. It wasn't a leaving because of rebellion. It wasn't a leaving because of broken relationship. But there was a goodness and a rightness about this kind of separation. It was before the fall, before sin. We hear of leaving this relationship. And somehow I think that right from the beginning, God was helping us understand about our kids that it's not about ownership, it's about stewardship. That they're entrusted to our care to raise them. I remember as we were a few years ago wrestling through Sunday school curriculum and the things that our kids are going to be taught, even this morning as they're learning about Jesus. One of our teachers said to me, "Barry, we're not raising children, we're raising adults who happen to be children." And that may sound like semantics, but I liked it because it had the end goal in mind. We're raising children to become adults. But there will be a separation, and that's even what becoming a mom has to do with. It's separating the child from the mom. And Scripture will quickly talk about after they have disobeyed God, because of sin, the multiplication of sorrow that happens. I'm going to read a next verse. I'm going to talk a little bit more. Genesis, actually, chapter 3, verse 14. And the multiplication of sorrow, that's going to be connected to this experience. Genesis 3, verse 14 to 20 says this. "So the Lord said to the serpent," this is after they've tasted of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple. It's probably a tomato. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you're going to eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity," this war, "between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed," capitalized, prophetic, messianic about Jesus, "her seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply," listen to this, we're going to talk about this, this is the phrase, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, for you. You shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. God was explaining the consequences of sin. In pain you will bring forth children. He didn't say children are a pain. He said having children will cause you pain. Children can be one of our greatest joys and one of our greatest heartaches and sorrows. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when they brought Jesus to the temple, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus, the priest Simeon was there, and he looked at Mary, he looked at this mom, and he said, a sword is going to pierce your heart. What happens to our kids affects us, and it certainly gives us a small glimpse and insight of what happens in the heart of the Father when he sees his kids in trouble. The thought of losing us, his thought of losing you, of being eternally separated from you, he couldn't stand that thought. And so he did something about it. But it says about Eve that your sorrow and conception is going to be multiplied, in pain you shall bring forth your children. Women are tough. If it was up to men, things would have ended in the Garden of Eden. Man only gave birth once, and that wasn't to a child, that was to a wife. And all he did was fall asleep. Adam had a nap. He woke up, scratched his side, and saw Eve standing there with nothing but a smile. And God thought, that's about all he can handle. This is a job for a woman. This is a job for a mom. Adam, he had a nap. Now pregnancy is 40 weeks. And it's not just 40 weeks of glow. There is a joy and there is a glow about women with child. And you know, some women can even tell other women are pregnant. I remember Audrey saying to me when Matt was our youth pastor's wife, Tracy, one Sunday morning, they were just at the church building. He's getting ready to lead worship, and I don't know what she was doing. And Audrey said, Tracy's pregnant. I said, oh, that's so exciting. When did she tell you? She said, she didn't tell me. I said, what do you mean she didn't tell you? I can tell. Just look at her. She's pregnant. I said, get out. So I went over to Matt a little later and I said, you're not going to believe this. Audrey thinks Tracy's pregnant. Somewhere, though, now you never ask a woman if she's pregnant. I have learned this. Even if it looks like she's hiding a basketball, you never ask. That's wisdom. You know what wisdom comes from? Experience. You know, experience comes from bad judgment. I now have good judgment. You never do that. But there is a point during pregnancy, somewhere in those 40 weeks, where it's like a switch flips. Audrey is so gracious and kind and sweet, and I mean that. But there was a point in her pregnancy with Dougie that her body began to change, and then her attitude began to change a little. And I'm pretty jokey. But there was a point where I stopped joking. It was this point of, can't you take a joke? No. Nope. But she demonstrated such a toughness and such a resilience, such a strength. I remember being in the hospital room and her telling the staff, I don't want drugs. I don't want an epidural. And they said, well, your husband's having both. But it was just this. The only bad decision, at least that I can recall, the only bad decision I made at that moment, labor was going on for quite a while, and so I went down to the hospital cafeteria and got a hamburger and fries, because I thought there's no sense in both of us being hungry. But that probably, you know, I thought, let's keep up our strength. And I'm absolutely amazed that after the first child was born that way, that Adam and Eve, there was ever a second. But that's because moms are tough. And it says that he named her Eve, which means life and living for she's the mother of all living. And somehow, like Eve, moms all around the world for thousands of years have said having a child is worth it. It's amazing because it's so hard, it's so long, and it's so difficult, it's so painful. All the changes that take place, the stress and the worry, and that's just on the dad. So much on the mom. It's hard on the mom. But would you be surprised to know that Jesus talked about that moment? When I think of Mother's Day, and I have for years thought about this scripture where Jesus talks about becoming a mom. And it's so striking to me because it's the setting in which he talks about it. It's part of the upper room discourse. When he's in Jerusalem, they prepared the meal, the Passover meal. In the upper room with the guys, these burly disciples. He's sharing this meal with them. It's the time when he'll wash their feet. It's the time when he says some pretty powerful things to these disciples. And of all of the things that he could have talked about how hard it's going to be on you, he talked about becoming a mom. Watch what he says in John chapter 16, verse 16. He's in the upper room. Soon he's going to be headed to Gethsemane. Soon he's going to sweat drops of blood in such agony. Soon he's going to be tempted to throw in the towel. Father, if it be your will, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be flogged. He's going to be whipped and beaten. There's going to be a crown of thorns. There's going to be a mock trial. There's going to be an execution. He's going to hang on a cross looking at his mom. And before all of that, we back up to John chapter 16, and this is what he says to these guys around the table. In a little while, you will not see me. They don't know what's going to happen. In a little while, you will not see me. And again, in a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, What is it that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. Therefore, they said, What is that he says a little while? We do not know what he is saying. So we're able to look back. They're in this moment. What is he talking about? And Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. And he said to them, Are you inquiring about among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you'll not see me. Again, a little while you will see me. Most assuredly, I say. Now watch what he says here. This is Jesus talking to these guys. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. This is what God can do. Your sorrow will be turned to joy. And here in this moment, Jesus takes us to becoming a mom. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, watch, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Jesus speaking to the disciples about his death, about what he was going to face, and not just what he was going to face in his caring, loving, pastoral, shepherding way. He talks to them about what they're going to face. He says, this is going to be the hardest thing that you've faced yet. We're going to be separated. You are not going to see me for a bit. It's the toughest thing you're going to have to face. But it's going to be okay. It's that phrase. You hear not only the voice of Jesus, but you hear the heart of the Father heart of God. it's going to be okay. How many times have dad said, it's going to be okay? Because you will see me again, and watch, the sorrow that you have will no longer be remembered. It will just be so overshadowed with joy that sorrow is going to fade into the background. It's not somehow that you forget. It's just that you don't remember the sorrow anymore, because the joy has come and it makes all the difference. You say, this is worth it. I remember the pain and the struggle being there with Audrey. And then the miracle. And in an instant, the struggle turned to joy. It's not that you forget the sorrow. How hard things are here in this life. You just don't remember it because the joy is so big. It falls into the background, the sorrows. You focus on the joy. It's not the denying the difficulty. Man, things get hard. People face tough stuff. It's not denying the difficulty and the sorrow, but it's focusing on what's been accomplished. The sorrow is past, and the joy and the victory is present. In convention this week in Whistler, I ducked out of one of the sessions for a minute, and I was in the lobby, and there's Pastor Brad from Hillside Church. He's talking on the phone. He's planning a funeral for a baby. Just got the phone call. A little later, next day, we're with some friends. They don't look good. We say, what's going on? Her niece, a mom of three kids, 42 years old, just passed away. They're just getting the news. Man, people go through it. And it's not a contest. It's not a competition. So you think those are big things. Whatever pain you go through, whatever struggle you go through, that's real too. But isn't it something that of what Jesus could have used with those disciples, with those fishermen, sitting around with the guys who were referred to, the brothers, as the sons of thunder? He says it's like a woman having a baby. It's like becoming a mom. And he says it's going to be okay. There are things that we all go through, sorrows and struggles and heartaches and separations and disappointments. But like it was true for Eve, it's true for us. It's because we live in a world that's fallen. It's the result and consequence of sin. It's not because God's trying to get us. God's trying to rescue us. He's trying to redeem us. Get us out of the mess we got ourselves in. Christ has come to give us hope. And part of that hope is that all these struggles are temporary. Whatever we're facing is temporary. The sorrows are not here to stay. And there will be a day. There will be a day when we won't remember how bad the struggle is, because we simply remember we're simply facing how joyful it is right now. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Scripture says, Psalm 16, at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There will be a day when He comes back, when He sets things right. And He wipes away every tear, dries every eye. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. This morning you may be facing something difficult. Maybe it's your family. The more I have been talking to people over and over again about family, my friend, many of you know Ed Kroll. Ed said to me just recently, he said, families are complicated. Maybe your family right now is complicated. Maybe you got struggle at work. Maybe you don't have work. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's despair or darkness has fallen like a shadow over your heart and you're just hanging on. I guess that's what I would say to do, hang on. It may look like dark all around you. It may look like there's nothing but night, but hang on, because Scripture tells us this, that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it tells us there is a day that's going to dawn. And it says the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And you may be in a dark spot right now where all it seems like is sorrow and struggle and heartache. But hang on, because there's a day coming. Light is going to break in. The light of the glorious gospel. Hold on, I want to pray for you this morning. After I pray, I just got a few more things to say, and then Ben and the team will come and lead us. But for right now, I want to pray for you. If you're in any point of struggle, any point of confusion, any point of heartache, disappointment, sorrow, whatever it is, God has grace sufficient for your need. We're going to pray into that right now. I'm going to ask you, just without anything demonstrative or singling you out or anything like that. But if you need just the Lord to pour into you now a touch of grace or strength or hope or comfort, maybe there's a darkness. You have an answer that you just need from God. It just seems like you got nothing but questions. You don't know. Maybe you're at a crossroads and you don't know which way to go. I want to pray for you today in the midst of your struggle. And what I was attempting to say was maybe you could just hold your hands open. It's not so much about our body posture, but at least I just find that if I follow through something physically, it's like I'm just saying to the Lord, I'm open. I'm empty and I'm open. We don't want to be so full of ourselves that there's no room for God. We just, Lord, I'm empty. And then our open hands, it's our open life. Lord, we're looking to receive from you. Let's pray. God, I pray for each person here who's facing a struggle, facing confusion, facing a heartache, a dark path, don't know the next step. Sorrow with family, sorrow with kids. Need a breakthrough, need a miracle, need intervention. God, we come to you because whatever the problem is, you have the answer. So God, I pray for an impartation even now of your grace, of your strength, of your hope, of your courage. God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to rescue us, how you're going to set us free, what you're going to do. But God, I pray for each person here listening, those watching online, that there would be just a realization and an acceptance that there is victory in the battle, not just when the battle's over. God, that there would be such a deep sense of hope that there is victory right now. There's a pathway that you're providing. God, I pray for peace in the midst of the storm. Your word tells us that there is a peace that passes understanding, that guards are like a fortress, like a keep. Guards our hearts and minds. God, I pray for a peace in people's lives that would just settle there right now. God, your word tells us that we can have joy. We sang this morning, Ben led us, about joy in chaos, joy in the midst of the storm. God, I pray there would be a transformation, that joy would overshadow sorrow and despair and hopelessness. And God, I pray for each one of us that we would be able to, as Hebrews instructs us, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of God. God, help us to keep our eyes on you. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for working in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a separation that took place in the Garden of Eden. Separation that was right and good. And actually, Ben and team, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and come. There was a separation that took place in the Garden of Eden that was good and right, and it was this phrase, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they'll be one. And there was a goodness and a rightness about it. But there was also a separation that took place in the Garden of Eden that was not good. And it was right, at least it was right in the sense of it was the right consequence for sin, because a separation took place between humanity and God. That's what sin does. It breaks relationship. It broke relationship then, and it breaks relationship now. Relationship with the holy God. But God couldn't stand the thought of that separation lasting. fact, he couldn't stand the thought of being separated from you, so he did something about it. Scripture tells us that God so loved us. It's not that he had to. He chose this. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Oh, there's a day when we perish here on the planet, just like Chris's mom has fallen asleep. She's finished the faith, finished the race. She's kept the faith. She's fully and completely in the presence of Jesus. It's because God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen, it goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent his Son Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin. He died on the cross. He didn't have to, he chose to. Scripture tells us that Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, I give it freely. That's when we have communion together, we don't say that Jesus' blood was spilled. Spilled implies an accident. His blood was shed. He gave his life on purpose, with purpose, that we might be rescued, that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved. He didn't stay in that grave. He rose 3 days later, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended to the Father. And he made a way whereby we can have access to God again. Scripture tells us that God was reconciling us to himself in Jesus, through Jesus. That word reconciliation, it means makes friends again. That's what God was doing. He reconciled us to himself, Scripture says in Corinthians, through Jesus. And there's two kinds of people that I'd like to pray with this morning. One is the person who has once followed Jesus, but isn't following anymore, would like to. The other is the person who's never followed Jesus, who's never asked Jesus into their life to be forgiven, to say, yeah, I'd like to follow Jesus. You know, the first, and there's a lot of people like this that have walked with Jesus closely, and then somehow they've gotten off the path. Some have wandered, some have intentionally chosen. Or maybe you've just followed at a distance, or maybe not followed completely. Well, you can get things right this morning. You can get things straight. You can straighten up and fly right. Because God not only is willing to forgive you, he wants to forgive you and give you a fresh start. And there might be those either at home or here in this room who have never walked with Jesus. Well, there's no guilt, no condemnation. There's this invitation. No matter what you've done, whether it's the really big stuff or the stuff that just seems pretty minor, Jesus is able to forgive us and to cleanse us. Scripture talks about that from the inside out. That's where we get clean. We don't got to clean up our life before we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus because we're a mess. We say, Lord Jesus, would you please forgive me? Scripture tells us that as we would confess our sins to him, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Sometimes it's one sin. This is it. Sometimes it's just a life of walking independently from him. It's in that moment where we say, Lord, would you please forgive me? It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. It means it's right. He can do this. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He doesn't just forgive us, but he cleanses us. He makes us clean on the inside. And then that cleansing, it just works itself out how we live our lives. There's a transformation that takes place. The world wants to conform us into its mold, into its blueprints, into its schematics. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Don't be conformed to the image of this world. It has to do with just being pressed into a mold. Don't do that. Don't follow. Don't just be molded by the world. It says, but be transformed. And that has to do with a metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar to a butterfly. There's a metamorphosis, a transformation that takes place. You're not the same as you were. when you accept Jesus into your life and ask Him to forgive you, there's this cleansing that takes place. Not only are you clean, then you're free, not just to do whatever you want, but free to follow God and to walk with God and to live for God. The Bible tells us if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and that God raised Him from the dead, we can be saved. And it goes on to say, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're in one of those two groups, maybe you walked with the Lord and you're not so close and you just like to get things straight, get things right. I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're someone who's never done that, well, it doesn't matter if you're just watching what seemingly at a distance, God's with you right here, right now, at this moment. So whether you pray this prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'd invite you to just say these words after me. You don't have to yell them out. You don't have to be very loud at all, but just in the quietness of this moment, to get right with God, we say this: Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me so much that You would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe You rose to life again and now offer me new life with You. I ask You to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite You into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and help me to live for You all the days of my life. Thank You for forgiving me and thank You for saving me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd invite you to tell someone. I'm happy to chat with you, but tell someone that you got things right with God. God bless you. Ben, would you lead us?
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.